listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey, Lakey Show. Yeah.
It's Danny Lakey.
Well, there was some 9 o'clock natter, some natter that really mattered, and the matters had to be discussed. You'll hear that on the podcast. There was a man with a strange fetish about an exercise ball. You'll never guess, though, the nitty-gritty of that man's exercise ball fetish. We spoke about movies that are completely different when you change one word in the title. Let's kick it off. Bit of sauce goth. Stuntman soaks in bean dip for 24 hours to save favourite restaurant. Nice one, stuntman. One of the all-time great stunts. For my next stunt, I shall bathe in this bean dip for 24 hours. You watch. When your favourite Mexican restaurant is struggling to stay alive, what else would you do but sit in a pool of bean dip outside for 24 hours to attract diners? Well, you're probably saying, what is this bean dip? Are you talking like baked beans? No, I think it's more of a watered-down, refried beans sort of situation. It's like, there's a pinkish hue to the bean dip. I've seen visual evidence of the man. It's not a luxury tub. It's a blow-up kids' paddling pool full of watered-down, pink, grey, tepid bean dip. But he's a stuntman, so I'll let him explain some of it.
I'm spending 24 hours in this tub of bean dip for Los Toros. I just think we have a golden opportunity to support local businesses in a big, explosive way.
Okay, interesting choice of words. I don't think he has a job. Barker's devotion does not waver, even when nature calls. The big thing that people asked was, what are you going to do when it comes to the restroom? How are you going to sit in these beans for 24 hours? You're just going to soak in all your own juices as well? Well, he recalled while soaking in his original bean dip recipe. Oh, it's his own bean dip that he brought. Good, admirable. He hasn't lent on four locos or whatever his little Mexican restaurant's called. He said, I do have a funnel that's connected to me right now. So anytime I do have to go do a number one, it's connected to a bag that's attached to my body. Fair enough. I mean, producer Mick looks disgusted out there. I mean, what's the other option? That you piss in the bean dip?
Sitting juices? In bean dip.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
You don't want to contaminate the bean dip with uric acid. That's just height of rudeness. I want to know where his little colostomy bag is, though. Is it in the bean mixture, or is it off to the side attached?
Well, that was my
inflatable.
Sheer horror. And
for a number two, though, that's a different story, he says. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm going to back the stuntman in that he doesn't have to shit for a full 24. I think that he can get away with that. I think the stuntman has trained himself. He's worked his way up to a stunt like this. I mean, you shouldn't try it at home. By all means, don't do this unless you're a trained professional. But he has managed to say, well, we'll just wait and see. I think if he needs to do a number two, he's probably going to have to admit defeat and get out of the bean dip and waddle his way to the toilet rather than just do one of the great guacamoles. Look, it begs the question, what dip, preserve, sauce would you bathe in if you wanted to perform a stunt like this? Part of me thinks that this guy, although probably doing a good deed for his local Mexican restaurant, Los Toros, he probably just likes the idea of bathing in a bean dip. I think he's seen an opportunity to get away with a guilt-free bathing session for 24 hours. If you didn't have the struggling business of Los Toros with the pandemic, you probably couldn't get away with just saying, mates, hey, this weekend, probably just going to chill out, binge watch a few things on Netflix, probably in a bean dip paddling pool. Did I mention that part? I think there's part of him that really loves the bean dip. And there's part of me that sort of loves the idea of hypothetically bathing in some sort of something you're not supposed to bathe in as well. That's why we thought on 133353.
Bathing hypothetical, thetical, a bathing hypothetical, a bathing hypothetical. Hypothetically speaking, if you had to bathe in a sauce, dip or preserve, what would you choose?
Yeah, and don't think you ringing up on 133353 and talking about your hypothetical bathing fetish is going to go unrewarded. For anyone who calls up and gets on the air about what they would hypothetically bathe in, whether it be a sauce, a dip or a preserve, we'll send you off at the very least to Godzilla vs. Kong that's in cinemas March 25. But I think the best answer tonight probably deserves a nice pair of KISS tickets. Yeah, KISS tickets. KISS tickets. Come get your KISS tickets by answering what would you hypothetically bathe in the sauce world. For me, I think you're going to have to avoid dairy at all costs. I think any cream-based sauces, now this includes but is not limited to a bechamel sauce, custards, Greek yogurts, etc. I don't think that's probably what you want to bathe in. hypothetically. I think you want to avoid the big three sauces as well. I don't think it's going to be a mustard game. I don't think it's going to be barbecue. I think the acid might sting, to be honest. I think that tomato sauce you're going to struggle with. No jams, no peanut butters. This is only my personal opinion. I'm imagining that if you had to bathe in peanut butter for 24 hours, whether it be the crunchy or the smooth, whether it be oily or dry, it's going to be hard to get out of your hair. Aftermath is going to be big here. Producer Mick, you got any ideas for hypothetically what you would bathe in? Sauce, preserve, dip?
Strawberry jam.
Strawberry jam? Okay. Elaborate.
I just think it'd be comfortable. There's strawberry would have a bit of cushioning.
Maybe a little snack. Maybe it would mask the smell of my uric acid if I needed to do number ones.
Exactly.
Not bad. I don't mind where your head's at. It would be comfortable. Much like we see with jelly wrestling at local taverns and pubs around the country, very quickly the jelly starts to thin out into a watery goop. Maybe this will happen with the preserve. I'm not entirely sure. You also have to think about the aftermath and the cleanup. Will it be stuck in cracks and crevices? Will it be stuck in the hair? Will it be easy to rid of scalp? For me, I don't think chocolate sauce. I've had a chocolate bath once before with an ex-survivor contestant and it got stuck in my ears and I almost got an ear infection. For me, that also rules out the sticky batter mixture of my grandmother's toffee roulade. I'll probably go with applesauce if we're being completely honest. You say, hey, don't tar the jam preserve and then pick applesauce. That's just as sticky, to which I would say, no, I don't think it is. I don't think the applesauce is as sticky. I think the applesauce is more of a puree game these days. So I think it'd be comfortable. I think it'd be tasty. I think it'd be fine to bathe in for 24 hours. And I think the cleanup would be pretty much mess-free come after a 10-minute soak. James in Victoria. I mean, we are playing for KISS tickets at the most and Godzilla vs. King Kong tickets at the very least. It's all hypothetical. However, you will be hypothetically judged for your speech and actions. What would you bathe in?
Beetroot, mate.
Okay. Any sort of... are we talking a beetroot sauce, a beetroot relish, a beetroot dip, or just plain beetroots?
Beetroot sauce.
Beetroot sauce. I'm glad you said beetroot sauce, because if it was just beetroots, I mean, you're really stretching the rules there. When I ask for dips, you've just gone with a solid root vegetable. I mean, then if I allow that, what's to say someone just couldn't say, oh, I'd probably just bathe in a bunch of jeans I bought on special from JJ's. I think that'd be the best. It's a very slippery slope. I'm glad you said the beetroot sauce. Talk me through the beetroot sauce and why you think that it wouldn't stain you permanently into some sort of red wine-coloured man.
Well, I reckon it would help bring out the rosiness in my cheeks, and it's supposed to be good with weight loss and help with your liver.
Oh, God, he's really thought this one through. I don't mind it. It's very poetic, to be honest. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. Have a shot of beetroot before a marathon. You run a PB. James, he's really thought this one through. You are the clubhouse leader so far, at the very least. King Kong tickets coming your way. Jody, in Victoria, the bar has been set pretty high with beetroot dip / sauce.
Yeah. I reckon I would go with a French onion dip.
Gross. Why?
Well, okay, there's a couple of things. One, have you ever gone to a party, though? Like, well, you had a party, you left the onion dip out. It looks fine the next day. It'll be fine for 24 hours.
Okay, you're thinking longevity. I like where your head's at. Now, although the French onion dip may still be fresh after a 24-hour soak session, you may stink of heinous French onion dip. Have you thought this through?
Yeah, but look, getting a smell off is a lot easier than getting red dye off. Have you ever had that, like, you know, with the beetroot?
Yeah.
You know, having a shower is all good.
Yeah.
Plus, given the texture of it, I think it'd be like a weighted blanket, but, yeah, you know, calming, because it's a bit heavier.
I see, yeah, help with Jodie's anxiety while she's bathing in the tub. I see.
Exactly.
Now, well, I don't mind that either. And you've raised a very good point with the beetroot stains. What we'd probably look at is getting Jodie and James in a washing machine afterwards, hypothetically, with some nappy sand of some sort, some oxy-action, some sard, to get you both back to clean spirits. Ross in Forest Hill, hypothetically, preserve, dip, sauce, what are you bathing in for 24 hours?
Lemon butter spread, has to be.
The forgotten spread.
It is. It's in that little masterpiece jar. It's only small, but you miss it.
You
but
do
mate,
miss
it's got
it.
The best of both worlds, isn't it? Sweet, sour, butter,
yeah.
Great for the skin.
Yeah.
Lemon leaves you scented.
Yeah, you will be coming out very soft after that. You'll be like a new dressing gown on Mother's Day. Supple.
And you can wipe a bit of bread and off you go.
You could.
You can still eat it.
Well, I don't mind the idea of that. Maybe like getting Ross to lie down on a surfboard after his 24-hour marinade, and then we can just sort of like rub little offcuts of buttered bread, just clean him up that way. We'll dab you dry. We'll dab you dry. Lemon butter, I think, is the clubhouse leader so far, partly because I forgot that it was a thing. And I always forget it's a thing until probably once a year someone rings up and incorporates lemon butter into their story somehow, and I remember it again. Hey, in Victoria, what can beat the lemon butter in a potential 24-hour soak?
Okay, Danny, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, good. Just talking the important issues tonight. What would you suggest?
I would go the chocolate yogurt.
Okay. Now, I don't mind that.
Maybe also a swirl of banana through there. So over 24 hours, you get a little bit peckish.
Yeah, you do.
Nothing better than a chocolate yogurt.
Yeah, I can just imagine you soaking in yogurt, eating the yogurt, there with a little plastic spoon that cuts the side of your mouth, eating yogurt.
No spoon, you just...
Sorry, of course, my mistake. How could I have been so stupid? Not bad. I like the incorporation of the banana. Have we considered maybe some dirt dessert? Some dirt dessert for the yoga. Little marshmallow pieces, dirt dessert. I forgot about the yoga as well. Shane in Melton, wrap this up. There can only be one winner tonight, but I feel hypothetical sources are all the winners. What would you choose?
Mate, I still like the lemon butter, but anyway, I'm going to go garlic, ginger, honey, and soy sauce.
Whoa, okay.
Just like your chicken wings.
Yeah.
And it's a lick-off cleanup.
I see. It's got a very Canton vibe to me.
Yeah.
You've broken the fourth wall, to be honest, because whilst we were getting bogged down in sauces, dips, and preserves, you have gone full marinade on us.
Oh, definitely.
You have gone...
Definitely.
This is a Kylie Kwong recipe. That's what you've done. And that's why I love it. And that's why you're up to kiss.
Possible.
You're up to kiss. Just for pretending that you're marinating.
That's the way to go.
It's time for movies that are completely different if you add just one word to the title. Schindler's Bucket List.
Well, I'd love to skydive. I've heard shark cage diving is quite the thrill also. A bungee jump, of course. I'd quite like to see the pyramids. And myself and Mrs. Schindler have always fancied the idea of an orgy, you see. Let's face it, none of us are getting younger.
Catch it if you can.
Nathan Lyon comes in from the northern end, pitches just outside off stump. It's up in the air. Who's under it? Pat Cummins. Oh, he's lost it in the sun. Wicket goes begging. That brings up the batsman's century. Yeah, sorry, guys. That's my bad. Sorry, Gary.
The sound of Nickelback's music.
Can we change the station, please?
Music. No, just some.
What's this shit now? Back to Julie Andrews, for f*** sake.
In cinemas soon.
Man with exercise ball fetish pleads guilty.
Guilty!
Yeah, no, guilty. If having an exercise ball fetish is a crime, Your Honour, then lock me up and throw away the key. A man with a history of burglary to satisfy a self-professed fetish for slashing large rubber exercise balls has admitted breaking into a physio clinic West building last year and slashing balls there. See, I know a couple of people who've got a fetish for having their balls slashed, but nothing like this. The rubber exercise balls at the physio. Christopher Neil Bjerknes pleaded guilty to third degree burglary. That must be a struggle having a fetish that you've got to burgle to get your kicks for. You have to commit a crime to even have a chance at getting your rocks off for your weird fetish. As part of a plea agreement reached, a charge of second-degree burglary was dismissed. Good. I like it when a man admits to his fetish and gets a lighter sentence. In an interview last month, Bjerknes said he couldn't explain his fetish. Oh, no, the confusion on the man. How does he sleep at night? Look in the mirror, shaving, brushes his teeth. You monster. You exercise ball-slashing monster. Bjerknes told police he slashed the rubber balls to satisfy a sexual urge. So this is so interesting to me because it doesn't sound like he's having sex with the exercise balls. You think you connect the dots if someone's like, yeah, I've got an exercise ball fetish. Like, what do? Like, oil them up in like lavender oil, you lang-ylang, like get naked and rub your crack against it or something. What are you doing? You kiss it? You spoon an exercise ball? Just have a big room devoted to exercise balls? You just run around and bounce in there? Do you like a man sitting? Do you like a man on a space hopper, do you? Is that your thing? No, just like slashing them. I like destroying the exercise balls. His fetish has led to other brushes with the law as well. He was convicted in 2005 of first-degree criminal damage to property after getting into the Sports and Health Centre at the University of Minnesota. Oh, no. On several occasions, he's damaged the inflatable exercise balls. Bjerknes said his fetish for exercise balls has nothing to do with people who work or exercise at the gyms, and he doesn't believe he's a threat to anyone. I think so. He's just a bit harmless fun. It's just the balls that are in danger. There's no one around. No harm, no foul. I don't think he's as dangerous as the pervy guy at the squat rack down the gym. And I'm not giving him a tag to my Anytime Fitness, but still.
You've heard of Talkback Radio.
The time is 5 to 8 and the council has done it again.
But have you heard of 9 o'clock Natter on Triple M?
Now let's talk about this bloody 9 o'clock Natter business.
9 o'clock Natter.
Jenny in Glen Orchy, Tasmania.
Yes, Denny.
Howdy, Jenny.
Can you explain to me why there are so many shows? Have prizes to just about nearly everything, where they ask the listeners to compete in something, uh-huh. And there's a prize offering at the end of it, and very little, and sometimes nothing, for when the listeners are asked to compete in that. Don't have prizes because not everybody. I mean, I can only speak for myself.
Yes.
I listen to the shows because I love listening to the shows.
Oh yeah.
If I didn't, I wouldn't.
No, you do it for the heart.
But I don't listen to them because I want to win the prizes. I'd rather not win prizes.
No.
The thing is, if one, let's just say that if I could compete in something, and I rang up, and by chance I happened to win it, but there was a prize attached, but I said, look, I really don't want a prize, would that be okay, would that be deemed as, a waste of time, because somebody else could have won the thing and gotten the prize.
Yeah,
I might have deprived somebody else.
Yeah. Well, it would be a high act of selfishness, which I know would be below you, Jenny. So you wouldn't do that. But if we're dealing in hypotheticals, and since you've asked, it's highly illegal to not claim a radio prize. Legally, we have to send the prize out to you. And then what you would do with your Godzilla vs. Kong movie tickets is up to your own jurisdiction. Now, the same would apply for KISS tickets. The same would apply to a Triple M stubby holder or a Triple M cap. We are legally bound to send you the prize. And then once you've unzipped it from the envelope, we have no legal power if you were to throw that stubby holder in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've campaigned for a while to try and have a little bit more power inside the listeners' homes on what they do with these prizes. For instance, if we were to award you a signed Midnight Oil electric guitar, I have no power to come around and force you to hang it up in the pool room.
Mm.
You could very much throw it in the skip bin or put it out for hard rubbish collection or sell it to a pawnbroker. And unfortunately, my hands are tied.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Ah, so that's how it is.
Yeah, always important to be completely transparent with the listeners at all time. No smoke and mirrors around here, no. This is real heart on your sleeve, sort of fourth wall stuff. Daddy
Likey. Triple M.